I'd invite you to take a breath with me and stand. And let's, as you stand, turn to Colossians chapter 2 this morning. Colossians chapter 2. Always difficult to see the mistreatment of others. And we don't, obviously, we don't show it for entertainment purposes. We show it for information and to help us, because it's easy for us to be desensitized here in this world. We, in our country, in our cities, we see some things on TV going on, oh, in that city or that city, and we're insulated from it. And yet, the reason we preach the Word week after week after week is because when that comes here, we have to know how to stand. We have to know how to communicate truth. We have to know how to respond. We have to know how to comfort others and lead others. And so God's not unaware. He's very aware, and that's just a taste of what wickedness is to righteousness and what darkness is to light. And so we are blessed to have the Word of God and a Holy Spirit who's active and involved. And he's active and involved there, and the Word of God is living and powerful there as well. And so pray for them, and as God would move you and as God would move us, let's take that next step of action. We're in Colossians chapter 2. Teenagers who have gone to camp, you will be very aware of verse 6. You say it before every meal at summer camp at Northland. Colossians 2:6 says, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him." Finishing out, rounding out the thought, verse 7, "Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." Father, we commit this passage to you. Do the work in our hearts. Challenge us and change us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. You and I desperately need the encouragement of these two verses. And what we need is the encouragement that Paul gives to the Colossian believers regarding their and regarding our past and our present. Earlier in the book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul emphasized the future, or the hope that we have in Christ of inheriting and experiencing eternal life, unchanging glory, and all of the majesty that is life with God in heaven. So keep your hand here and just drop back probably a page to Colossians chapter 1, verse 5. In his introductory comments, Paul says in verse 5, "Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel." So part of the gospel message is the hope for the future. What difference does the gospel make today? What difference does the good news make today? It makes a difference now and for eternity. All right, so Colossians 1:5 is looking ahead to the future. Drop down to verse 21. Colossians 1:21. Here is testimony of the amazing change that comes into your life as a believer in Jesus Christ. "And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him." That's future. So there is an aspect of your salvation that gives us great comfort and peace now, but there's an aspect of our salvation, in fact, many aspects, that are meted out or lived out or experienced in the future. And then one last verse, verse 27, "To the saints, to the believers, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Your hope for glory is Christ. It's not your activity, it's not your good deeds, It's not your religious actions or attitudes. It is Christ. The hope of glory is Christ. The hope of future glory and blessing is Christ. So again, Paul has emphasized what's going to happen in the future. But here in Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7, it's the past and the present that concerns us. So this morning, I would like to give you 3 points of encouragement, and then we want to talk about what God wants to do with our summer months here at Wausau Bible Church. Okay, verse 6 again. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. There's an illustration that Paul is giving to the Colossians and as such giving to us. If I were to take any extracurricular activity, a sport, music, playing a musical instrument, really appreciate Peyton, I appreciate you playing your cello, but you didn't get up this morning and say, oh, you know what, I think I'm going to start playing the cello, and I'm just going to come to church and start playing. Now, she didn't do that. Leah and my wife Julie, they don't just sit down at the piano and just start playing. They have learned. And again, the illustration crosses over into so many different areas of life, but specifically musicians have learned from their instructor. And you know this if you've taken any kind of lessons, if you've been coached in any way. The principle is, as you do in practice, so will you do in performance. Okay, so if I have a bad habit in practice, chances are that bad habit's going to show itself up in the performance. If I practice good form, I have a much greater possibility of carrying over that good form into the performance. So as you practice, so you perform. So to our text, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, in the same way you received Christ Jesus the Lord, as you have practiced the cello, as you have been taught how to shoot a basketball. So as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, how was that? By faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Okay, by faith, by humbly trusting in God and His power for salvation. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, in the same way, how is that by faith? So walk in Him. You trusted Christ by faith, so now, why would you live any differently? Live the same way. How? By faith. By humbly trusting in God and His power, not for salvation, but for usefulness during this earthly life. Too many of us are Thomas-like in our walk. What I mean by that is, if you were to go back to John chapter 20 this morning, we won't turn there, but you remember that Thomas, he's called Doubting Thomas because he doubted the story that Jesus was alive. He rose from the dead. And unless I see the nail prints, unless I put my finger there, I will not believe. And in John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29, Jesus comes before Thomas and the rest of the disciples, and he looks at Thomas and he says, have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. as you received Christ Jesus the Lord by faith, in the same way you trusted Christ as your Savior by faith, so now make your life choices by that same faith. Live the life of faith. So Paul begins this little paragraph here, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Walk by faith in Him. Let the faith that saved you now move you, motivate you, take you. Let it govern your walk. That's encouragement number one. Encouragement number two, verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. I want to get just a little bit geeky for a minute, but I think you'll appreciate my geekiness. I am not one who gets super excited about languages. And English was like the worst class when I went to high school and college. It was like, ugh. Diagramming, don't even get me started. Terrible. But there are some things about the Greek and Hebrew language where I about come out of my chair. And this is one of them. This is one of them. I think you'll be encouraged by it. You see the verse, it's in the ESV. Translated this way, we just read it. Therefore, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Notice verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. It's translated right. Okay, it's a good translation of Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. But it is helpful for us to see something very encouraging from another translation. What the translators of the New American Standard have done is they have preserved the force of the Greek verb tenses. You say, what? So? That's what I would have said until it was explained. So let me try to explain it to you. Here it is in the New American Standard. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. You say, I don't see any difference. Right, because there isn't any yet. But notice verse 7. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Maybe you see the difference. It's not a difference in the words, so don't be saying, oh, well, they swap these two around. That's not it. It's a difference in verb tense that the NASB preserves, and it helps us understand this verse. It's there in the ESV. It's just not out on the paper the way that the NASB translators have communicated it. Paul is saying here that we have been firmly rooted in Christ and we are now being built up in Him. We have been and we are now being. So these are called, here's the geekiness part, perfect and present passive participles. But they're wonderful. Because what the idea behind a perfect passive participle is that a work has been done in the past by someone else. In this case, God. it has been done by someone else, in this case, God. It has been done, but the effect continues on. That's what makes it perfect. Because it perfectly completed the work that it was intended to do. God did something. What did he do? He rooted me in Christ. And guess what? So have you been rooted in Christ. If you believe in him for life and salvation, it has happened and it has a continuing effect. What effect? What was done in the past continues on into the present. I am being built up in Christ. I participate in that, but do I grow me? No, God grows me. That's why it's passive. It's a work that's being done to me. He has committed to do this work. Why? Because he's rooted me in Christ. And the same holds true for you. If you believe in him for life and salvation, it is happening. And God is committed to continuing this work in you. What work? Growth. God is committed to your growth. And that's why we can be so encouraged by this text. Now, it's no surprise. This world can be brutal at times. We saw evidence of that today. In fact, most of the time, this world can be brutal. People disappoint us. We disappoint people. The flesh gets the upper hand. Satan is just absolutely relentless in his assault, whether by accusation or by temptation or by taunting. Circumstances can easily get out of hand. Dreams are shattered. And everything around us just seems to be unraveling. We may begin to wonder if our lives are going anywhere. If my walk with Christ is actually producing anything that is of any value. But friends, be encouraged by Paul's choice of words in Colossians 2. No matter how strenuous, no matter how flip-floppy life seems, believers have been rooted in Jesus Christ. This is intensely personal. God has graciously seated my soul. For those of you who work with flowers or plant gardens or anything, it's like taking that seed and you've got this dirt in the ground or in a cup or a pot or something like that, but you put that. Maybe you take your finger and you make a hole in the dirt and you put the seed in there. And then fill that hole in with the dirt. Think about your soul in that way. Think about being seeded into, being rooted into Christ's unchanging and incomparable comprehensible grace. You've been seated into that grace. My life is rooted in him. My hope is grounded in his goodness. This is now my identity. This is my security. This is my strength. When I feel like I'm wandering aimlessly and hopelessly from one disappointment to another, whatever I may encounter, and whether I term it good or bad, of this I can be sure, just absolutely certain, that I have been rooted in Christ. He did it. And then Not only have I been rooted in Christ in the past, because of that, the continuing, the ongoing effect is that I am being built up in Christ even now in the present. I may not always see my growth. I may not always feel my growth. We used to joke around sometimes. There are mornings I wake up and I don't feel saved. Well, you're a pastor. Yeah, and I have bad allergies sometimes. And colds. Or a difficult day. Or a sleepless night. There are mornings when I wake up and I don't feel like a Christian. That doesn't change the fact, though, does it? No, because I've been rooted in Christ. It's not rooted in my feelings. It's rooted in God and who He is and who, praise Him, who I am now in Him. Paul assures us that however unnoticeable the change may be, we are being built up in Christ. We are ever and always under ongoing construction, right? A brick here, a board there. But always, persistently being built up by God's grace. Sometimes we mess up the building. Sometimes we tear down God's handiwork. But God never gives up. Why? Because I've actually been rooted in Christ. I have been rooted in Christ. He did that work. And what is He doing now? He is continuing that work. What He began by grace, He will finish by grace. It's Philippians 1:6. The building will be completed. Our souls will grow in conformity to Christ. And one day we will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We'll be there. Glory. That's glory that Paul was writing about. I don't know about you, but it helps me to know about that. I desperately need to be reassured that my life, my body, my soul, my spirit are rooted in Christ. I need to know about verse 6 and 7. And I also need to remember and know that He is still at work in me. That rooting has an ongoing effect. What was done in the past, when by God's grace He saved me, has an ongoing effect. I am being changed because I am in Christ. Slowly but surely, I am being built up, conforming. He is conforming and He is shaping my soul to look more and more like Him. So that's where my geekiness is meant to be an encouragement to you. Be thankful for the verb tense. Because when I'm so weighed down right now, I think, I don't have to even think, oh, but this is coming, though that's an encouragement. But there's an aspect of what's coming that I'm unaware of. There's a lot about heaven I don't understand. There's a lot about the end times I got question marks about. I know Christ is coming back, but, yeah, that but produces a bit of wavering sometimes. So don't look to the future. Look to the past. Look to the past. Look to the perfect passive participle. This is the work that God did in you. I have been rooted in Christ, and I am being built up in Christ. Praise God for that. All right, number three. Number three, there really is only one appropriate response to that life-transforming reality that God did a work and he's going to continue it. There's one appropriate response. What is it? Look at it in verse 7. Look at it. Thanksgiving. It is no wonder and should be no wonder to us that Paul's final phrase reminds us of the importance of abounding in thanksgiving. Or NASB, overflowing with gratitude. Same idea. And so my response, because of what he has done, what he continues to do, and the hope of glory out there, is I give everything to him here. He's the one. He's the one who holds me. He's the one who rescued me. He's the one who is growing me. And he is the one who has secured me. And so my money, my time, my energy, my purpose, my focus, the things that I can touch, the places where my feet will take me, the ideas and concepts that rattle around in my brain, all of that is God's. It's all his. In fact, it's why here you see it. It's in both the ESV and the NASB, but I've highlighted it, underlined it there in the NASB, because you see again the verb tense, being established. And that's what's happening to you and to me. We are being established. We're rooted. But we are going to know about that rooting. We are going to experience that establishment more and more as we are built up in him. I'm told that the idea behind that word established is the context of guaranteeing, of ratifying, guaranteeing a legal contract. So what's that mean? What it means is that God has done something incredible. He has bound himself to me. He has bound himself to me. How did he do that? In Christ. I am rooted in Christ. Therefore, every promise that God has made to the follower of Christ is mine. I am his. He has formally pledged himself to my growth and grace in his Son. He sealed me with a document of ownership. I'm his. He's mine. We sing the hymn. And he will continue to confirm and solidify me in my experience and knowledge of all things that he has made known of himself and his purposes for me in Christ. So you just used a lot of words, Pastor Chris. What did you say? What I said is God's not done. He's still working, and he is committed to the end. He will not stop. So, what is the right response based off of Colossians 2, 6, and 7? Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted, having been rooted, and being built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. What is the right response to our position? Being rooted in Christ. What is the only response to God's commitment of continued growth in us? What is the perfect response to advance the gospel that so changed us and made us who we are now in Christ? What's the right response? This is where RTP comes into play. For some of you, you're hearing those words RTP and you're thinking, is that a theological term? No, it's not. It simply means reach, teach, and pray. Reach, teach, pray is a concept that we introduced 10, 11 years ago. And every summer, we don't have formal Bible studies like men's Bible studies, women's Bible studies here at the church during the summer. But what we found is that those classes are difficult to conduct because of changing work schedules over the summer, vacation schedules, family schedules, those kind of things. Things happen. Wisconsin summers are short. They're short, and people take advantage of them. And we're not going to be the heavy-handed ogre that says, no, you can't, because we have all kinds of things here at church. And listen, we recognize the reality that people do take vacations. Now, you'll hear me say in September, no more vacations, because I get sick of them. Okay? But what we want to do is provide opportunity for you to live out this Thanksgiving. You've been rooted in Christ. You're being grown in Christ. What does abounding in Thanksgiving look like for you? How are you living out your faith? Well, that doesn't take a break over the summer. We're not taking a break over the summer. The challenge is not, RTP is not a program, it's a mindset. It's a mindset. Reach, teach, pray, those are some basic disciplines found in the lives of faithful believers. What do? They attempt to reach out to others, saved and unsaved alike, and minister to them in the name of Christ. Teach. We want to communicate the truth that we've hidden up in our hearts. We want to tell others about the good news of Jesus. And teach, what does it mean to be a follower of Him? Pray. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. And we're not taking a break. Again, it's not a program. It's a mindset. It says, I believe Him, therefore I live for Him. So at the core of RTP, Reach, Teach, Pray, is the idea of not wasting my summer months, but actually using our redeemed lives to touch the lives of others. We meet here on Sunday. Our Sunday morning gatherings of worship will continue. Our Sunday evening gatherings of education and praise and fellowship together, those will continue. But during the week, what we encourage you to do is use your redeemed life for the glory of God. God has changed people. You. God's continuing to do a work in you. Now, how are you living for Him? For Him. Some people will pray with and for others this summer. Some will use their time to teach, to learn, to grow. Others will partner with people to serve in specific ways. The challenge is to be committed, to be intentional, to be purposeful. You say, why are you bringing this up in May? Because one of the most difficult things that you will do in the next several weeks is start. It's going to take you some time to think about, how am I going to use my summer months for the glory of God? What am I going to do? How am I going to reach? How am I going to teach? How am I going to pray? Don't just say I'll get around to it, or I'll sit around and wait until somebody invites me to do something with them. Believer, God has saved you. He has rooted you in Christ. And He's continuing to do the work. So how is your life abounding in thanksgiving? I say this carefully because I don't want to put too many restrictions or limitations on what I'm about to say. So understand it in the spirit that I'm going to say it. What you're not going to find with Reach, Teach, Pray is a sign-up sheet out there. Oh, I want to sign up for RTP. No. There's no sign-up sheet for RTP. It doesn't mean that there can't be. You want to meet with, maybe you only got room for maybe four people. But the first four ladies that just want to sit down and pray with you on a Thursday morning at 10 o'clock, you want to have into your home. Okay, we can help you with that. But the point is, RTP is not a program where you find a sign-up sheet for. It's an idea, it's a concept in your head that says, you know what, I want to make use of my summer. I want to be active. I want to be purposeful. I want to serve God. Because I'm abounding in thanksgiving for what he has already done and what he continues to do in me. So let me give you a couple of examples. These are three ways that I am going to use RTP, that RTP concept, in a practical way this summer. These are simple things. I'm not limiting myself to these three things. Maybe you say, you know what, I can do one RTP thing. I can initiate that concept in my mind this summer. I see RTP, it's just life. It's doing life together. So these three things, these are just three examples of things that I'm going to be doing this summer. They're simple things, but they go a long, they really go a long way towards being used by God in the course of my daily life this summer. We'll start with Reach. What am I going to do this summer? Ken Lehner talked to me a few weeks ago, and the Holy Spirit really used what Ken was saying to me to bring up an idea, spark an idea in my mind. Maybe he's approached you with these, but he's got these little cards. And on these little laminated cards is John 3:16. On the back, I asked Megan to print out some labels, wassabiblechurch.org, Sundays 9:30. That's it on the back. One of the things that I would like to do to reach our community for Christ this summer is I'm going to go around and I'm going to hand out these cards. An invitation to church can fall on deaf ears. Here's what I know about the Word of God. It doesn't fall on deaf ears. God uses His Word because His Word is living and active. The Bible says that the Word of God will not return void. What that means is that God has purposes for His Word, and my responsibility is to get it out there to people. John 3:16 is the gospel in a nutshell. I want to get it out to people. So here's what I'm going to do. My goal, for me personally, my goal is to hand out 36 cards this summer. That's not a biblical number, all right? There's nothing magical about it. What it represents is three per week. That's an attainable goal for me. I may hand out more, I may hand out less, but my goal is to hand out 36 over the course of the summer, three per week. I want to go up to somebody and say, hey, appreciate you talking, if we've been talking for a little bit, and let me leave you with something. This is my hope. This is why I do what I do every single day. And I just want to leave it as an encouragement with you. And they'll say, oh, yeah, thanks. And it's not just paper, it's laminated, so maybe they'll put it in their pocket. And maybe they'll throw it on their dresser or side table, at night and kind of look at it. Maybe. But I know this, I can trust God to do His work because His Word's here. And if they really want to know more, there's info on the back. Now, here's what I'd love to do. I want to invite eight of you to join me. Say, why eight? Because I have 300 cards. And if we all hand out 36 cards this summer, we're right around that 300 mark. And so if you want to join me, you're going to have to put on your own stickers, okay? But if you want to join me, come and see me. And we'll do this together over the course of the summer. That's how I'm going to attempt to reach people. So that's not hard. Mm-mm. It's not. Secondly, teach. This summer, I'm going to be reaching out to some of our teen guys. And teen guys here at church, and I'm going to see if they are willing to meet with me so that I can help train them and equip them for service around the church here. Our teen guys can do that. Like what? Like working up there and doing what Ira does and advancing slides for our morning services. Our teens can do that. I think our teen guys can help by ushering, maybe even greeting, if they open their mouths. Okay, but I want to work with them with that. Because why? That's teaching. We can't just say, oh, well, they'll get it someday. They'll start serving someday. It takes someone to come alongside and say, hey, are you interested in learning this? Can I train you? I'll buy you ice cream. You know, that kind of thing. So I want to reach out and teach some teen guys. So teen guys, expect a call from me. Reach, teach, pray. Along with the other prayer opportunities at Wausau Bible Church, and there are many, avail yourself of them. But what I'm going to do is I would like to invite all men to join me for prayer in the library on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. You're coming to church anyway. Come a few minutes early. I'm going to invite you to join me. Now, don't worry, I won't look down on you if you don't come. But with whoever shows up, I'll be there. I'll be in the library downstairs beginning in June on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. And we're going to pray specifically for God to work through the ministries of the day. We're going to pray for those who will attend. And we're going to pray for those who are serving. And we won't be late. We'll be up here. Sometimes you have other responsibilities. That's okay. But at 9 o'clock, you're welcome to join me. Reach, teach, pray. My reaching is personal, inviting others. You're welcome to join me. Teach has kind of a church focus for me. And pray. It's open to anyone who wants to come along and pray at 9. The ladies are already doing it. Reach, teach, pray. Those are examples. You know, at the end of the summer, Lord willing, I've been faithful in reaching and teaching and praying. And say, you know what, Lord, this last summer has not been wasted. The word has gone out. I've attempted to reproduce myself in the lives of some teens. And I've prayed with a group of men. The service is about you, not me. It's been an opportunity for me to live out my faith, to be thinking, to be praying, and then acting by connecting with others this summer. Now, that's me personally. My wife and I, we might do some things together. We might get together with other people, purposefully invite, or go, or do. I don't know what that looks like. The challenge, though, is not for you to look and say, what are Pastor Chris and Julie doing? But to ask yourself, how am I abounding in thanksgiving for what God has done for me? God has rooted you in Christ. And He continues to build you up and establish you for His purposes. Our response as believers is to be thankful and let that gratitude move us to an active faith as we reach many, teach others, and pray earnestly this summer. So hopefully that's clear. Hopefully we're all on the same page saying, yeah, you know what? God has done an incredible work in me. And I want to be thankful. I am thankful. Good. Reach others, teach others, pray with others. Now, couple of announcements as we wrap things up today. First of all, one of the things I want to do to be an encouragement to the congregation is this. I'd like us to have some monthly testimonies, some giving thanks for how God is using the concept, not the program, the concept of Reach, Teach, Pray. So at the end of June, the end of July, and the end of August, we'll take some time for just some testimonies. Nothing big and elaborate, just here's what God's doing. Because I'm abounding in thanksgiving. All right? Secondly, beginning in June, we will take a little bit of a break from the book of Luke. Lord willing, we'll finish Luke 18 up in the next 2 weeks. And then for June, July, and August, I would like to lead us through a series that I've entitled Decisive Dedication. It kind of goes hand in hand with what we're talking about today. The idea is that God has a plan for this age. And I'll let you in on something. It's an invasive plan. You know what that means? It means it's going to mess up your plans and mine. But God's plans are best. So God's invasive plan for this age, we'll talk about that, and the radical commitments, they look like they're radical by the world around us and by many Christians. What? You do that? Wait, you pray that much? What? You go to Bible study twice? Yeah. They look radical. But they're radical commitments that must be made for God's people. Here's the key, to open themselves up to God and His work. Here's the point. God's working all around us. Many of us are oblivious to it. Why? Because we're not committed to His plan. So we'll see that throughout the summer months. I'm looking forward to that series. And then I want to invite you on Sunday, May 31st, mark that date. 2 weeks from tonight, Sunday, May 31st at 5:45. We will have a combined service that night. We'll still have our morning service. But in the evening, rather than dividing up into Sunday school classes, the kids, the teens, all families, all adults will stay right here in the auditorium. And so we'll be all combined as a church family. And we're going to talk about some things. And we're going to end at the end with a bit of a sandwich fellowship downstairs. Just a time of getting together and enjoying one another's company. But what we want to do on May 31st at 5:45 is we'd like to give you some updates with regarding to staffing at Wausau Bible Church. Fill you in on where we're at and what the Lord is doing regarding staffing. I want to make you aware of some ministry needs, that if we're going to continue as Wausau Bible Church the way we know it, there's some things that need to happen from the membership of Wausau Bible Church. And then we would like to talk to you about one site improvement project. Once we say it, you'll be like, oh yeah, I knew that was coming. So we'll address that on Sunday, May 31st at 5:45. And so looking forward to that meeting together. I'll just say it this way. I don't think this is too strong. If you call Wausau Bible Church home, then you need to be in attendance at that meeting. It's not a members-only meeting. We're not voting on anything on that night. But we want you to be there, and you need to be there to know what's going on at Wausau Bible Church. I encourage you to see the other announcements in the connection. Sign up as necessary. There are some sign-up sheets out in the lobby that you need to avail yourselves of. And we will look forward to seeing you tonight at 5:45. Let's go ahead and stand and pray together and commit the rest of the day to the Lord. Father in heaven, I am thankful for the message of Colossians chapter 2. Thank you for the work that you have done. I'm thankful that it continues on all the way into eternity, but it affects us right here, right now. God, I pray that we truly are abounding in thanksgiving. And if we are, we have opportunity this summer to reach others, to teach others, to pray with others. God, I pray that you would work in our hearts, work in our minds, and then our feet. I pray that they would follow suit and we would serve you well, not wasting our summer months, but living faithfully for you the one who gave everything for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.